Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Instant Match Reaction. Liverpool have just been beaten at home to Brighton and Hove Albion. My name is Ben Kelly. I'm joined by Chris Pajak.
Bloody hell, you gave him the full name then. You must be really pissed off with Brighton and Hove Albion.
Yeah, I am. I am.
Christopher Andrew Pajak.
Go to your room, Brighton and Hove Albion. Get on the fucking coach and go back down south.
The full name. Yeah. Just been whipped out within 5 seconds of going live.
I've been sat in that room for 2 hours just letting my frustration vent and build here. So yes, I will use their full title. That was just shite, wasn't it, Chris?
It was terrible, mate. I mean, just we're severely lacking ideas at the moment. And look, I get, just as well as everyone watching this and you, Ben, that Liverpool right now have got problems because of the injuries and everything else. But I can't get away from the fact that you've still got to hold these players accountable to the performances that they're putting in on the pitch. And that performance today, for me, wasn't good enough. There's players out there who have won league titles, who have won European Cups. You should, regardless of who's around them, be able to put Brighton under more pressure than we were able to do today.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think the other thing is, the reason this one is so dejecting for me is that the last week has just been so, like, it's been so different in terms of, it's almost as if they've been teasing us with what they can do and what they can be capable of. Now, I know that Tottenham and West Ham, largely, you know, they're not totally low block. You know, say what you like about Jose Mourinho, but they're not like Brighton and Burnley. So, like, I know that, you know, maybe that there's a little bit more space for Liverpool to exploit, and maybe that, you know, Liverpool are more likely to be able to create more opportunities against those sides. But nevertheless, particularly against Spurs and the second half against West Ham, we were so much better than we were tonight. And you think we've turned a corner, and then we go back to where we've been throughout the whole of January.
Yeah, and there was just no ideas, there was no creativity, there was no creation of chances. It just, what was the reason for you?
I don't know, and you know, I know that we could go back into the whole, for me, you know, lacking Jordan Henderson from, you know, in midfield and all of that. I think we do lack Sadio Mane at the moment, obviously. You know, and we're missing the unpredictability of him. You know, I think when he gets on the ball, I think Mo Salah, for as good as he is, when he is physically on the ball, I think teams kind of can tell what he's going to do, or, you know, have a good idea of what he's going to try and do. Stopping him is obviously a completely different thing, but I think when Mane gets the ball on the left-hand side, you know, you don't know if he's going to go right, if he's going to cut inside. He's so strong on the ball, you know, you don't really know. He's a bit more unpredictable in that sense, and I think we're missing that. I thought Bobby Firmino tonight was terrible. And I think the differences has been that Firmino has been really good in the last two games. He played really well against Spurs and West Ham, and when Firmino plays, we play, and I don't think he did tonight.
No, he didn't play at all, mate. No, he just wasn't good enough, and there were so many players there for me that just didn't get involved in the game. I didn't see the point of Firmino tonight. I didn't really see the point of Shaqiri tonight. Wijnaldum, the game passed him by. And let's be honest, these are all lads that have won big trophies. These are all lads that should be able to put setbacks behind them and be able to play, you know, better than that. You know, and I understand that losing your centre-backs means that you're losing a lot of your fluidity and the understanding and the consistency of having those players. But you can't tell me losing a centre-back means Bobby's touch is going to be shit. Yeah. And Shaqiri's not going to be able to find space to find a pass.
Like, Bobby couldn't make a pass to save his life tonight. Like, I love him to bits, But yeah, his touch was awful. But there was, I mean, it's so difficult because it was there was just so much wrong with that game. But there was one moment in particular in the first half where Bobby picked the ball up in the midfield and he had Robertson running down his left. And all he had to do was play just a comfortable, straightforward through ball to just a slightly ahead of Robertson. And he just plays it to a Brighton player, sort of covering, not even like directly in front of Robertson, he's like a little bit behind him, and the ball was just so bad that he played directly to him. And it's just one of those evenings where nobody seemed to be able to put a pass together. But in particular for me, you know, Firmino was pretty poor. I think there were one or two positive things. I think the two maybe positive performances were from the centre backs again, and I think, you know, Phillips and Henderson, you know, against West Ham were quite good. Obviously Phillips came on in the second half against Tottenham. Phillips is interesting, isn't it? Because are we getting to a point now where we've talked about, you know, losing Henderson from the midfield to death and all that, but you know, we don't exactly know where Fabinho's up to. Just wondering whether you think we might be getting to a point with Phillips where we might actually be able to trust him to partner him with one of the new lads that we brought in.
I was already at the point before we signed centre halves where Fabinho and Phillips should have been our centre-backs. And you can insert Rhys Williams or Phillips, whichever one you prefer. I was already at the point where it was so important for me that Henderson needs to go into the middle of the park, that I'd have done that without signings. And I know that's putting a lot of trust into the likes of Rhys Williams or Nat Phillips would have been my personal preference. But I just feel that we're missing so much. Like, even towards the end of the game tonight, there, Jordan Henderson's driving forward. Jordan Henderson's trying to make things happen. Paul mentioned it a few times on commentary. He just can't dictate the game from the centre-back position. And tonight, we missed his leadership in the middle of the park. We missed his drive in the middle of the park. And that's blatant for anyone watching this game. That's what Liverpool needed. They needed Henderson in the middle. So whoever it is, whether it's Kabak and Davies, whether it's Davies and Phillips, whether it's whichever combination you want, get Jordan Henderson back into the midfield.
Yeah, 100%. We've had a few super chats in. There's been a couple from the last show as well, so I'm going to start with them. Joe Games Ang with $9.99. I think Takumi Minamino should not have left on loan. He can score goals out of nothing and provide the spark and creativity we need. He creates opportunities and goals brilliantly and is what we need. And funnily enough, that was a point I had already on the agenda, Chris. Tonight was, you know, I understand the benefit long term to maybe Takumi Minamino needing a loan, you know, but for the immediate short term, the first thing that I saw tonight before the game had even kicked off, I'm looking at our bench when they're reading out the team, and a weak bench has already been made even weaker because obviously we've still not got Jota, we've not got Mane at the moment, you know, we're struggling, we're thin already, and he's sending out Minamino on loan, and then he brings Origi on. I said to you out there, I don't really understand what is Origi offering us at the moment when he comes onto the pitch that Minamino isn't. You know, people will argue that he wasn't getting game time. Why fucking not? Surely he can't be doing any worse if you throw him on with 20 minutes to go than Divock Origi's giving us.
I think you're right. I mean, it has to be said that there are rumours that he wasn't a good trainer. And if those rumours are right, a bad trainer can be like a rotten apple, can't it? You know what I mean? It can spoil the rest of them. I think that has to come into consideration as well. I don't know if those rumours are true, though, so it could just be rumours. But there must have been a reason that Jürgen wasn't playing Minamino. Like, I get it in far as the Champions League squad, because I think we needed to let Minamino go out to be able to get Kabak probably into that Champions League squad. It was a bit murky, wasn't it, about who was in it and who can come back later on in the season and all that type of stuff, so I do get it. But we had a full back five on our defence there, like a specialist right back, a specialist left back, and two centre halves with a goalkeeper. I know you get extra substitutes now and stuff like that, so you can actually afford to do that. But from an attacking sense, that's definitely weakened us. Everybody knows that. I mean, it's blindingly obvious, isn't it? And I think, I don't know whether he'd come on and change the game. I've not really seen Minamino come on and change a game for Liverpool.
No.
So I don't know whether it's the right call, but certainly from the performance of Origi, I'd rather have thrown Minamino on. But that's hindsight 2020.
But, you know, even under the course of the season for me, I still can't get my head around the fact that he put in a pretty decent performance away at Palace in the 7-0.
Bloody good performance, yeah.
We've not fucking seen him since. And he's gone out on loan. So you're right. They are just rumours. But if they're true, there must have been a real decline, or, you know, something. He's really must, for me, really mustn't be offering something in training, as in, like, you really must be poor in training.
For him, or to frustrated and vocal, yeah, or something, yeah, like maybe. That. And maybe we, but we, these are all rumours, aren't we? We're not helping.
We've had another super chat there from Tristan Bower with no comment, but $5. Thank you very much. DBX from the last show, $1.99. Klopp with the excuses, not what I want to hear. I mean, I didn't really properly listen to Klopp's post match interview. Yeah, I know you picked up on something, didn't you?
He said that Liverpool looked mentally tired, and I mentioned this on the player rating show. That's a concern for me. I mean, I don't know whether he's deflecting. I don't know whether he's coming up with excuses to maybe, but that's not deflecting, saying you're mentally tired, are you? I mean, that's a worry, to be honest with you, if Liverpool are mentally tired. Like, look, there's loads of things going on in the world and all that type of stuff, and football's supposed to be our escapism and all that type of stuff, and I'm sure the lads still enjoy playing football, and maybe they worry about things going on, but yeah, mentally tired, a concern right now if Jürgen's thinking that, because we're 22 games into a league season. The mental tiredness and physical tiredness is about to ramp up big time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, potentially, but then Taylor Thomas has put a super chat here, another $1.99 on this show, that I saw that as a lack of effort. That really hurts. I don't know if I agree with that, but, like, is it hard? If there is a lack of effort, you know, for me, they are directly proportional. If you are just so wiped out and you're so physically and mentally tired, that is, you know, I think it's true in all walks of life. It's like, you know, essentially, if you're struggling with all that stuff, you know, your effort is going to be affected. And I don't know whether it's forgivable for top level Premier League footballers, and you know, in the sense of you want, every time they fucking pull on that shirt, they need to be given everything, and their effort must never ever drop, and they should be at a mentality where their effort should never ever drop below the levels that we expect them to. But, you know, the reality is that we're in a fucking weird season. We've said it over and over again. We had no break. We had no real pre-season. We're playing so many games of football. This game tonight, isn't as a fan, this game snuck up on me. Last week, you know, I'm looking at the fixture. Oh my God, we got Brighton on Wednesday. So it's that relentless for me as a fan. Imagine how relentless it must be as a football player, especially when the squad's as thin as it is. So, you know, a lack of effort, I don't know if it's true, and I'm sure it's not a lack of desire. Like, I'm sure the players don't want this to be happening, but when the game's as relentless as they are, you know, maybe it's just a consequence of it.
Maybe. I mean, you know, there's teams out there that are dealing with the stresses and strains of this season better than us, and maybe those teams don't have the injuries that we have and stuff like that. But, you know, and the other thing is as well, I think when you're playing well, everything just seems to be going your way. But I don't think when you're playing poorly, these things all just seem to add up. You know, the decisions don't go your way. You're playing poorly, you're running out of ideas. But that was a side there that, you know, for me, we lacked any sort of nous in the game to be able to craft a decent opportunity after the Mo Salah one early on. And at Anfield, did we have two shots on target or something in the game in 90 minutes? And it's not even a team that just sat back. Yeah. Like, that's, you know, mentally, physically tired and completely devoid of ideas.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We've gotten loads of super chats in, so we're going to have to start bombing through them. Thanks very much, everybody. Keep them coming in. Sayab Ahmed, Reece Williams should have started, and Henderson should have started further in the middle of the park, relying too much on Salah. No urgency at all. Just to bound off my thoughts on the Henderson thing, I actually think, you know, while we miss his drive and stuff in midfield, I think two really good things that have come out of Jordan Henderson playing centre back is obviously he's really good defensively.
Yeah,
we've noticed that. But also, actually, I think his passing range. I mean, I knew he had it in his locker anyway, but I just wonder whether there's something, it's possibly a stats and tactics at some point, but I don't know whether or not we'll be seeing him much more at centre-back now. But I think when he's, like, because he's got more time at the back and he's not being pressed as much, or, you know, he's got more time to think, I feel like we're seeing a much more varied array of passes and much more very good, you know, that chance for Mo early on comes at the result of a lovely Jordan Henderson pass. And I just wonder whether dropping him into centre-back and, you know, even when he plays in the six, you know, and having that quarterback role, as people like to coin it, like, you know, he's being able to ping the pass all over the place, that's something that, you know, I feel like
it's good. Certainly I'd agree with that. I think the one thing is, I want him playing 1-2s on the edge of the area. I want him driving runs and dragging players, because that's what we missed tonight, isn't it, Ben? You know, too often in the second half, you're sitting there and I'm looking at the telly that's off, because that's where I was watching it, by the way. I'm sitting there and I'm watching it and I'm like, where's the movement for these lads here? We're trying to break them down, we're 1-0 down and you're all just stood still, and like, Henderson's got the ball and he's like,
Move
for me. That's tiredness, isn't it? That can only be tiredness.
Yeah, I agree. God, there's loads of super chats coming in. This is really good. Osmosis 909, hold on. Every other team is in a similar boat in regards to pre-season. Poor excuse. Yeah, they're right. And not every single team, although, you know, maybe other than Manchester City are now starting to pick up form, every other team has been inconsistent as well. Leicester were Everton were really good against Leeds tonight. Lost at home to Newcastle on Saturday. It happens. Every team is suffering at the moment. You're right. Every team is in the same boat regarding to pre-season, but every team has suffered for it. So, you know, I don't really understand.
We've just suffered more, haven't we?
I think we have, yeah.
I think when you look at, like, where we were points-wise to last season, we've suffered the most.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Potentially. Yeah. Ollie Lawton, £5. When does Bobby's bad run of form stop becoming a rut and start becoming the norm? Look, I don't know what the answer to that is.
I thought he's been all right the last couple of games.
Yeah, it is, and it is. But, you know, like, are we seeing it's becoming a little bit more concerning that the games where he's played well start to stick out in your memory than the games that where he's played badly. If the flashes in the pan are becoming more and more few and far between, you know, I don't know. And there's a whole other sort of, you know, raft of conversation that we could go into there. I'm sure, you know, I don't know if you're on the final word tomorrow, but we're going to do the final word on the website tomorrow, where we're going to go into more detail about loads of players' performances. So maybe that's something that can be discussed more in depth there. Tristan Boer, sorry mate, I did comment, I feel like we need a proper number nine. I envy United for having Cavani. We seem to be putting a lot of crosses in the air for not having a prolific aerial striker, potentially, but that's what Christian Benteke was.
Yeah, it is an interesting one, because for so long I'd disagree with that comment, but the way that we're playing right now, and when we are devoid of ideas in the final third, it makes you want that. What the actual answer is to work out what the problem is. For me, it's not like signing someone like that. It's get back to what you were doing. Yeah. Move, pass and move. Get 1-2s in. Make sure you try and find space in the penalty area. Get your shots off, those type of things. It's work those opportunities better. Because if you build up plays better, then Firmino's big enough to kick the ball in the back of the net, or Salah's in space and he can kick the ball in the back of the net. And yeah, so I get it and I understand it, and I completely understand why people would want to do that. I would rather find a solution that doesn't involve getting a number nine like that to head the ball in the goal, personally.
No, 100%. I think Liverpool, not that we should pride ourselves on being better than that, because obviously at the end of the day, for a lot of teams, that tactic win game of football.
Goals,
I'd much rather go out and sign somebody like in Haaland. You know, Cavani's just
not
that
type.
You can
do both, to be fair.
Well, yeah,
to him, like,
Cavani's just not that type of player. Cavani is a very intelligent player, and I think there's levels above that game
that
in that
true.
Sense. George Deeney, new welcome to first team, and thank you very much for joining, mate. Lewis Merritt, Ox's injuries have caught up with him. He offers nothing to the team. In the summer, I'd offer him to Leicester as part of a deal. deal for James Maddison. Look, I like that too. Not sure why Leicester would take that on at the moment, especially if they get Champions League football. But the wider point, I think, is relevant. I think, you know, this season, Chamberlain's struggling to make an impression, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And we're not giving him the minutes. And he's unfortunately being asked to do things when he's coming onto the pitch. You know, it's not like coming on today, it's 20 minutes to go when you're 2-0 up and you get to play nice football and they're trying to not get tonked and stuff like that. We're asking him to change games, and we're asking Origi to change games at the moment, and I don't think either of them are up to it at the moment. He gets a shot off from distance, it flies over the bar, as we've seen. I thought when he came on against West Ham, though, he did look good. I thought there was some really lovely link-up plays. You know, he's the sort of pre-assist before Bobby Firmino knocks the ball across for Wijnaldum, isn't he? Lovely little flick and stuff like that. So I get it, and I understand it, but he's at his best when we're on the counter, when we're transitioning. He was the best for us when we were that tied. You know, and I'm reticent to say we've moved on from that, but he also needs to find his niche in that. Like, I think we're really missing Keita in the movement that he provides.
I was just
and stuff
say,
like that at the moment. And, you know, he plays that midfield position a completely different way to everyone else that we've got, doesn't he? So I think we're missing Keita. Obviously, I think you were spot on before with the Sadio Mane stuff. Like, Robbo's not as good for not having Sadio Mane. And that left-hand side with today just... they didn't really need to defend it. Like, Shaqiri did nothing, didn't he?
Simon Banstead, 999 Super Chat. In an ideal let players, these players will, in an ideal world, these players will get a mental break away from the same for all. But if your mentality is shattered, you don't deliver, regardless of pay and profession. That's, you know, I think that's exactly right. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, us as fans, we're watching this. And, you know, it really hurts us because we're Liverpool fans and we love this club. But, you know, for these players, I'm sure they love this club, especially what they've been through this club. But, you know, it's a job and it's a work. And I know that in my job, I'm, you know, at the moment, I'm working two jobs and, you know, I'm working as much as I possibly can. There's some days where, you know, I do fall asleep in your chair. Yeah, I do fall asleep in my chair. Yeah. Hello, good evening to my Apple managers watching this. Yeah, it happens.
You literally did it today and missed the meeting.
Dan Reese, stats and performances show we've been found out. We're in need of a sweet system, which is impossible to do with this many injuries. It'll come. I did do a stats show on that a little bit back. Should Liverpool tweak their system? I think it was post, I want to say Burnley, but I'm not quite sure. I've done a few of them now, so you can go back and watch that.
I've got a great comment from Scott Hawkes, obviously massive supporter of the channel and stuff like that, and he put it into our Discord group, actually. He says, it feels like the sports science is saying we can't press like we did because of the structure of the season. We're trying to learn how to win without constant pressure, but that's like he's building a new style while the team is falling apart in the middle of a marathon. And I agree with so much of that, because pressing's down across the board in the Premier League. Like, I think it was when I last saw the start, or when 14% by teams, and that's a big thing. And so Liverpool's intensity is what set them apart. Liverpool winning the ball back high up the pitch and not giving a team time to breathe almost is what made them so good. And we're not that side anymore this season. We're not able to put that together for 90 minutes. I thought the pressing started off all right first 10 minutes, to be honest with you, and then it fell off a cliff, you know. And then, you know, I just think we're finding it difficult. And maybe as far as pressing goes, I remember Klopp talking a couple of years ago and saying, like, before Fabinho was the DM, I think, saying something on the lines of, we need to press from mad angles, we need to press from positions where teams aren't used to it. And I wonder whether teams have gotten used to how Liverpool press now when they talk about it in the week, but it certainly feels like we're just not as good at it this season, or we're not able to do it for as long this season as we were.
Yeah, two final super chats I think we've got there, kind of linked together. Ray J, €2, worst season we had in a while and we're still fourth. Jack, £5. Our next three Premier League games, City, Leicester and Everton, are vital if we're still in a race for the title.
Thankfully, we're not playing anyone in the bottom half of the table. That's all I'm saying.
Well, exactly. Need Henderson in midfield for City. Hope Fab is back too. Yeah, 100%. In a weird way, I think possibly every other single team in the league who are going through this run of form at the moment look at those three fixtures and go, fucking hell. But Liverpool, it's the opposite. It's like, you know what? At least these teams will come and give us a game. You know what I mean? And they'll come and give us a go. And that somewhat plays into our hands. At the end of the day, they do that because they've got better quality going forward. They've got better, City and Leicester in particular, Everton to an extent, have got really good forwards and can really hurt you when they come to play. But it'll suit Liverpool as well. And, you know, I think their three games that at the moment, if you took those three games and then, you know, Burnley, Brighton and Southampton again, you know, you'd feel like you're more likely to get 0 points out of those games than those three.
Absolutely bloody would. And then, you know, we were talking about it just before we came on air, where we've been about like taking advantage of the last couple of weeks, and teams have dropped points, haven't they, mate? And we've been able to take advantage this midweek round of fixtures. Like, I know Arsenal lost and all that. Like, Man United going Tonk, Southampton, and then City, Leicester, Everton and West Ham all win tonight. Mm. And it just... Yeah. It feels
two
like
steps forward, one steps back.
Exactly.
That's exactly how it is. You know, in terms of... Again, it's, you know, as I was just saying before, we the feel-good factor was so much better on Sunday night. You know, in this office was buzzing. Everybody was buzzing. It felt as if we were back. And it was, and that was helped by the fact that those other teams around us had dropped points. Obviously, we beat West Ham and that put us above them. I think Leicester had lost to Leeds, as I said before. Everton had lost to Newcastle the day before. And then suddenly it's just like...
All those, we're just as far behind.
United go and win 9-0, and here we are talking at a home loss to Brighton. Anyway, we'll wrap up there. Thanks very much, Chris. Thanks for everybody who, you know, gave us a super chat there and gave us stuff to talk about, and made us feel maybe a little bit better. But we are going to be going into this in far more detail tomorrow on the website. I'm not going to be here, but I think Paul is. I think you are. I've got other people on there, and we've got a load of good stuff coming up on the content on the website as well. So go and subscribe over there on the redmentv.com for loads more stuff. But for now, there you go. Liverpool have lost 1-0 at home to Brighton. We get to pack our shit up and go home now, which is the best news of the evening. Good night.
Thank you so much for watching the Redmen TV YouTube channel. Everything we do here is funded by our wonderful subscribers to theredmentv.com. Get over there, sign up and get amazing additional content, interviews, documentaries, mini-series, and, of course, additional pre- and post-match day content.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.